Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
All right, we're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios in New York. I'm Pharrell with Carver High and our buddy Matt. He's filling in for Moth, who's sicker than a dog in heat. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Who's the best football handicapper? Pharrell on the bench.com. That's who. College football pro plays all season long. What are you waiting for? Sign up now. It's cheap, and the return is sickening. Baseball through the World Series, boxing, MMA, every big fight. It's all on PharrellOnTheBench.com. Every pick, every game, every day, every play. The best picks, PharrellOnTheBench.com. Without a doubt, it'll kick ass and take names for you. Sign up today. So I'm watching the Pirates now all of a sudden playing the Angels again. They beat them last night, right? And I just saw Bell jack a two-run bomb to tie the game at fives, and then they took the lead 6-5. So Pittsburgh's winning in Anaheim right now by a run. And then there is actually Carver High other action going on. The Twins, I believe, I just saw they finished off the Brewers. Is that about right?
That is right.
7-5 there.
Got a little Rays Padres out in San Diego also.
We got that. We got a little action going out at Petco. 4-3 Padres in the bottom of the fifth. A good game there with Tampa and San Diego. Good evening, San Diego. Giants 3-1 over the A's in San Fran City. And the D-backs lead the Rockies 9-3, bottom nine at Coors. So there are games going on. The Astros beat the White Sox in game one of the doubleheader 6-2. Greinke, the winner. Orioles, Yankees. Yankees win at 8-3. Herman, 16-2, the first 16-game winner in the majors. That is crazy, the season that kid's put up. It really is, Carver High.
Yeah, look, he's been very good for some long stretches.
And what, they just score tons of runs every time he pitches?
Well, his road ERA is like 5.5. He's pitched very well at home. And he's like 7-1 on the road, but he's got like a 5.5 ERA. So on the road, the Yankees are, you know, winning a lot of 12-7 games
right
on the mound. But wins are wins, and he's got nobody cares about wins anymore anyway. They give Cy Young Awards to guys that win 7 games, so it doesn't really matter how many wins you have.
It's your ERA.
That's all that matters. The stat geeks have taken out, you know, anything that matters. So wins don't matter anymore. That's not how they judge the best pitchers in the game anymore.
So you're telling me that a guy that wins,
that could win 22 games, doesn't matter.
And it's not going to affect how much money he makes?
Apparently not. Not according to the stat geeks, it doesn't. Doesn't matter.
Because all they care about is what?
Wins don't matter. That's why they got to stop, you know, they got to change.
Batting average doesn't matter.
All their little numbers that they do with the Hall of Fame, you know, it used to be, you know, 300 wins and all this stuff.
Right.
Those days are over. Because now, like I said, when you're giving hardware to guys that win 7 and 8 games, then you've set a precedent. Wins don't matter anymore. So now you have to pay guys on other numbers or put guys in the Hall of Fame on other numbers. That's just the way it is. They have, over the last 4 or 5 years,
ruined baseball.
They have, listen, you call it what you want, they have said wins for pitchers don't matter.
Well, it's amazing to me the guys that hit 220 make what they make. It's unbelievable. A guy can't hit out of a wet paper bag, but he's making $20 million. That's unbelievable. It's simple to me. If you suck, you don't deserve that money. It's that simple. If you don't hit You know what I mean? Like, is this not baseball? Are we not trying to hit and score runs? Are they not trying to score runs anymore in baseball? Is that how you win by...
getting paid for other things that you're doing.
That is BS. If a guy's hitting 220 and he's making $15 million, there's something wrong with the world. There really is. You should, and you know what? I'll tell you another thing. I've always said they should do subtraction on these guys' contracts. So, all right, you have not lived up to this contract, so we're taking half of it back because you suck. You're not producing. They guarantee these contracts and pay these dudes tons of money, and they never do anything. They never amount to a hill of beans. They just make tons of money doing nothing, hitting 210. It's unbelievable to me. It really is. It is sickening. And then a guy pitches and what goes, you know, 8-15, and I'm supposed to pay him $25 million? You never win? Like this guy Archer, he never wins. He's making tons of money.
That was a bad one.
I mean, look at these guys. You could go up and down lineups, right? And they never win, and then they make tons of money. It's unbelievable. If you don't win and you don't hit, you don't deserve tons of money. It's that simple.
It's a different game now.
If you're average, you should be paid as such. It's simple. They should give the stars that put up the night. Mike Trout deserves the money.
Yeah, but it's just like I just said with wins. Batting average doesn't matter anymore.
That is such
BS.
They
don't care about batting
average. That is such BS.
You put the ball 435 feet over the right center field wall, that matters more than you hitting 310. It just does.
So if you can hit a home run, we're going to pay you tons of money. If you hit a home run once a month.
The stat people have devalued certain things.
Who are these people? Where do they live?
They're everywhere.
Can we find them? Seriously. So now the Phillies have brought back Charlie Manuel from what, the crypt? Where is this guy?
Very bizarre.
What is going on there?
Very bizarre.
Why do you think that happened? Like, they just couldn't get away from him or something? Or what is that about?
I mean, honestly, forget about who it is obviously the bigger story.
Look at the Buccos scoring again. 7-5 now. Safe at second. Ooh. Anyway, go ahead.
Obviously, who it is the bigger thing because it's Charlie Manuel and right. He's won a World Series with the Phillies. And
right.
So bizarre to see him going to be the hitting coach. But look on the other level of it also. Like, it's August 13th. Like, changing your hitting coach on August 13th? Like, what
with
are you
a month left.
What are you looking to find here? Like,
you're
blaming that for your problems?
But is it fair enough that they're in it big time, so they want to clean up their they may feel that they're not, you know, hitting and that they need to get this right in the next month, otherwise they're not going to be in the playoffs. Can you imagine the payroll that they have on that team and if they don't make it? Because they could very well not make it.
Oh, they could very well. There's a logjam. We've talked about this nightly. Right. There's a logjam in the NL right now. And two out of anywhere from 6 to 7 teams are going to get in. You know, only two out of those 6 or 7.
The Nationals won tonight 3-1. The Phillies won 4-2 over the Cubs.
And the Mets lost.
Jays 3-0 over the Rangers. We told you about that. They hit 3 solo home runs in that one. And 5 pitchers combined on a 5-hitter. Red Sox win 7-6. Chris Sale reaches 2,000 strikeouts. Is that accurate? Faster than anyone in history? I think it is.
Seems like it.
Faster than anyone in history of the world. And the Mariners, 11-6 over the Tigers. Dodgers pimp the Marlins 15-1. Braves 5-3 over the Mets. Acuna homers. And Twins 7-5 over the Brewers. Cardinals, I told you. And the White Sox took the nightcap 4-1 over the Astros. Nova was the winner there. So two stories today that I found interesting about baseball was, one, the Yankees' rotation issues, but that they can still win the World Series. This story about their pitching. Tanaka, Paxton, Herman, and... Sabathia has to recover from his knee inflammation, or will Severino be ready by October? I think I'm with Carver High on this. The entire Severino Betances nightmare has been too lingering and ongoing the entire season to suddenly, you're going to tell me that in September, this guy's going to come up and start pitching and be ready to go in October in the playoffs. You're telling me that. Are they trying to tell me that Severino's going to be ready and they're going to just plop him right in the rotation? He's going to go.
He misses the
whole year, and now all of a sudden he's fine.
I don't think that that would be their plan. I don't think that they can get him to a point right now where he could start games and give you 5, 6, 7 innings, be a starter that like he's been in the past. I think that if they can get anything out of him this year, it's going to be in a relief type of role or in an opener type of role where he starts the game and gives you two or three innings. I don't think that they're going to be able to get a full starting pitcher type of situation out of Luis Severino down the stretch here. Because it's mid-August. I mean, how long is it going to take him to get ramped up if he's going to do that? It's going to take a while.
So the last five World Series winners, Giants had a 3.38 ERA, Royals 4.97, Cubs 2.60, Astros 3.33, and the Red Sox at 3.80. And then the regular season rankings for rotations of recent World Series winners, the WAR, the Cardinals had a 6.6 WAR, 2011 Cardinals 11.4 WAR, Giants in 2012 a 9.7, Red Sox in 13 an 11.6, Giants an 8.3 in 2014, and the Royals an 8.5 in 2015. So here's the deal. The Yankees are 17th in the majors with a 7.2 WAR. And it says, you don't need a rotation of Verlander, Cole, and Greinke to win it all. You can do it with Volquez, Ventura, Cueto, and Chris Young. You have to admit that rotation of the Astros is very lethal looking. I mean, it it's on a nightly basis that they just go out and deal.
It's lethal looking, but what has Zach Greinke done in the playoffs to make anybody scared of him?
Nothing.
Like, honestly, what has he done?
Nothing.
What is Cole done in the playoffs to make anybody scared of him?
I think he's never done anything, but he is a very dangerous
Verlander,
pitcher.
Verlander, yes. There's no question about Verlander.
I'll give you Verlander.
He's gotten it
but
done.
Do you think of all those people, Cole's the guy that has to step up and
do
something big?
Well, Cole right now, this is his time. He's had this year where they're talking about the $200 million. They're talking about one of the best in the game. He's hit that age where he's like at his peak, you know, where he's going to be in terms of where his arm is, and he's dealing. He's got to have a big postseason. Got to have a big postseason.
I'll give you that.
But I don't. We've seen this in the past. These dominant rotations don't always win. They just don't. The Braves won once, right?
Yeah,
dominant
they had
rotation.
That great rotation.
When everybody sign, steal, and deliver the Phillies that one year when they had Halladay and Cliff Lee and Roy Oswalt and they had weren't they sign, steal, and deliver that they were going to win?
Automatic.
They didn't. You're not always automatic because you have the best rotation. Does it help? Of course it helps. Helps when you can put a guy out there that you know could give you seven strong every night. But that doesn't mean you're going to win the World Series.
So did you see this interview or this story I sent you about Ferris Bueller's day off, Walker Bueller?
Yes, it was a very long story.
Very long. Too long to have. We just don't have the time.
I did not get to go through it all, no.
The only time that we ever have Carver High involved in reading an article longer than 8 minutes is on a 5 to 6 hour flight where he'll pull out an article that he has to read from start to finish for longer than 8 minutes. Typically, he likes to have a beer and to snore on the person next to him.
Preferably, but that
doesn't
happen.
I was at the pool the other day, and I passed out, right? I had some total, like, chill tiki music going, little Kenny Chesney. I had the No Shoes radio going. I had the, you know, down by the, you know, south of the border type music going. And I had it all going. And I passed out in the sun. It was like 85 degrees and I was laying there. And, you know, I knew that I was passed out because a couple times I could feel literally that I had that like snore going at the pool. So there was some lady next to me with her husband. So I was in the middle, and then there was, to my left, his family, and then to my right, some old bag sitting next to my wife on the other side of her. But I knew that I had a couple of, I heard the slip where I just, you know, bobbed off, and I had the full, like, snort going, and the cow, like, the whole piggy snore going. And then I woke up out of my stupor with a little drool on my chin. And I looked over at this lady with my sunglasses on, and I was like, what? That's right, I was snoring on you. You should be so lucky that you're in my space catching my snore, woman. Some lady I didn't know. She was looking over at me like dirty. She gave me the dirty snore look. 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, Bueller, there's only 10 pitchers that have struck out 11 or more batters without a walk four times in the same season. And Bueller and Koufax are the only Dodger pitchers to ever do it. Bueller accomplished it in a span of just 10 starts. He had a 15-strikeout complete game win over San Diego on August 3rd. He threw only 30 balls to 31 batters with Maddox-like precision for someone who hit 99 miles an hour. So they talk about he's got six pitches, including three versions of fastballs. And they basically say in this article that, you know, there's no one like him in the game. And that he's basically the second coming of Sandy Koufax. Is that essentially what it's driving at here, Carver High?
That's exactly where they're trying to get to.
Greinke has never averaged 96.9 on his fastball, as Bueller's doing that this season. They say it cuts through the air with such ferocious speed and spin that hitters go 196 against him the last 2 years. Only Gerrit Cole has a heater that's been harder to hit. Hands down, the best stuff I've ever seen, said one veteran catcher who caught Bueller while the Dodgers were in spring training, this guy Josh Toll. You know, with him, forget it. You're just working on stopping the baseball. As a catcher, you know what I mean? Like, he just said it's hard enough to just try to catch it. He throws it so hard. Are you surprised at how hard he throws it with his frame and everything, Carver High?
I mean, there's been guys like that, but in the past, I mean, Tim Lincecum isn't a big guy, right?
No.
When he was at his peak with the Giants, and he fired it in there, so.
How is it that they can honestly throw it like that when you're that skinny and you're that, I mean, honestly. I don't get it. Have you ever seen anything like it?
Because it's more than just being ripped through the jersey. I mean, there's more to it than that.
It's your body, the whole motion, the entire.
You do it, everything.
Have you ever heard of anybody having six pitches? Three fastballs, three different fastballs?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot. There's few guys that can do that. Few guys that have done it, period, in the past.
Can you believe they're talking about in this article that the Padres took some guy named Walker. Did you see this guy, Weichel? This kid that they picked, pitched in a game and touched 95 at Petco. They picked him, and he wasn't one of the players picked in the first round. Am I wrong in saying that? I think that's accurate. He slid into the 14th round due to signability concerns before the Pirates finally picked him. Pittsburgh had used the 8th overall pick on Stanford pitcher Mark Apple. Remember him? And then Bueller became a contingency plan in case Apple turned down its offer. The Pirates began to realize that Apple would not sign. They offered Bueller $1 million, and Bueller wanted no part of it. Can you imagine? So the Pirates screwed up on this guy?
Seems that way.
Jesus. Major League teams drafted 15 high school pitchers in the first and supplemental rounds of the 2012 draft. 8 of them never pitched in the big leagues, including Weichel. Last season at 24, Bueller was pitching the Dodgers to the pennant. Weichel spent most of the year pitching for the Down Eastwood Ducks, a Class A affiliate of the Texas Rangers. Wow. That's crazy. As a sophomore in 2014, he logged 121-plus innings for Vanderbilt. It's crazy. This is quite a story about this guy, Bueller, no doubt about it. They signed him to a bonus of $1.7 million. This is originally $314 less than the slot amount. Before he threw a pitch, he underwent Tommy John surgery to repair the damaged ligament in his elbow. You knew he had Tommy John, too?
Yes.
Jesus. He added 15 pounds during his rehab from that. And it really is crazy to see how guys have that surgery, right, and then end up pitching better. You know what I mean? After the fact. So they blow out their elbow, right? They go have Tommy John, and then they pitch better than ever after the surgery. It's crazy, right?
In a lot of cases of it, yeah.
How? But is that not crazy to you? that you're better after you blow it out than you were before. That something, for some reason, that surgery, does it not make their arm, even like their elbow and everything, better than ever?
It makes them stronger.
Makes them stronger. It's crazy, right? I'm seeing Tatis Jr. leaving the field, going into the clubhouse for the Padres. A lot happening here. Tampa and San Diego are tied at fours in the sixth. I'm watching that game. The Giants are up 3-2 on the A's. I mean, it's all crazy. Pirates lead the Angels by a couple of runs. So I'm watching some of these West Coast games as we speak. Anyway, so shifting gears, I want to go forward a little bit and get into some more of this football. Andrew Luck is going to sit out the preseason with the ankle injury. Carver High believes that it's the beginning of a long season of problems for Andrew Luck. You think that it's going to be another one of those injury plague seasons? First, it was wasn't it a calf like a few days ago? And it's now calf. It's turned into an ankle.
Now it's a high ankle. Went from a calf to a high ankle. Maybe it's both at this point. Who knows?
So earlier in the morning, Jim Irsay's comments, he was on with Bill Polian on the radio, on NFL radio, and he was talking about the injury and that he had a bone issue. And is that what it boils down to? It's an ankle? That's the problem?
High ankle. But it's the same thing all the time with them. It's almost, you can never trust what they say or how long a guy is going to be out. The Colts just do this constantly. It happens with Luck a lot, too. You can never go by what the Colts tell you.
GM Chris Ballard broke it down. He said it's a calf injury. It wasn't getting better. In the course of dealing with it, he developed an ankle issue. They explored an area near the bone, and it does not appear to be the issue. Focus has shifted elsewhere. Saw another expert, and there's a high ankle issue. 29-year-old has been dealing with the calf injury since April. Now, so basically, it sounds to me like he's got a calf and an ankle.
That is what it sounds like.
He's got both. Troubling injury history. He missed all of 2017 due to a shoulder, dating back to 2015, that required surgery. And then last year was the comeback player of the year in the NFL. He tossed 39 touchdowns, one fewer than his career high of 40 in 2014. He is incredible when he plays.
When he plays, he's incredible.
But then the injuries this guy's had. So do you think that in the end, all of those injuries are going to mount enough of them that he'll end up not playing football anymore? I mean, it sounds like that's where he's headed. He's had so many nagging injuries and problems that it's eventually going to kill him.
Well, I mean, he got healthy last year and he made it through the whole year. It's just, it feels like when he missed that year with the shoulder a couple of years ago, this was like the same story in August in training camp. It was like, well,
he's got this little shoulder problem.
He's going to be okay, but we're not really sure, and he's going to miss the preseason. And the guy never played.
Right.
I'm not saying this is completely different. Shoulder, an ankle, obviously things are not the same, but they are just never right about anything. It's almost like the Met doctors, how they get in baseball,
they
get laughed
everything.
At all the time. It's like, what are the Colt people doing down there?
So we'll come back. We'll talk about Amari Cooper's plantar fasciitis. That is a nagging pain in the ass injury. I've had double plantar fasciitis. It's the worst, both feet. At the same time, with torn plantar fascias, drive you nuts. I mean, it'll absolutely drive you nuts. You can't even walk.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. So Matt Essig's been working with us tonight for Mafia, who's out with a bubonic plague. And have you enjoyed doing the show tonight, Matt? Are you having fun? You got his mic going?
Good.
It's good. Have you done many shows here? Have you been working on some of the other shows?
Yeah, but they've been throwing me around, just bouncing me around from show to show.
So you actually filled in on this show when I was out in San Diego surfing, right? So who was filling in for me then that night? Do you remember?
Oh, geez. That was a couple of weeks ago.
It's hard for you to remember past last week. You know, it's hard for me to remember last hour, let alone last week. I can't remember anything. Ask Carver High. I have to have everything on stickums and notes, and there has to be you got to remember everything with me because I won't remember anything. It's short-term memory loss from years of smoking weed. Wait, are we on the air? So, but you're having fun? You like it?
Of course, yeah.
So where do you hail from? Where do you exist from? How did you end up here?
So born and raised in D.C.
All right.
Worked down there for a little bit out of college.
Right.
And
where'd you go to college?
I needed to move up here.
Where'd you go to college?
Marymount University.
Oh, all right. That's cool. And then did you go to the one in Maryland or the one in – isn't there one in California too? There's one in New York.
Like four or five.
Right, there's a bunch of them.
Here,
which one did you go to?
One in Virginia. That's the one where I went to.
You went to the one in Virginia.
One out in Loyola.
Right.
And I think there's one more.
Yeah. There's a lot of Marymounts. But you went to the one in Virginia.
Correct.
And then where did you work in D.C.?
So I used to work over at iHeart
right.
with their promotions department.
Oh, all right. And so then you came to New York and you got you moved to New York City and you got a gig here?
Correct.
You like it?
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. I'm a fast-moving person, so.
So where do you live in the city? Do you live in New York City?
Yeah, I'm over in Brooklyn.
Oh, all right. You like Brooklyn?
Oh, yeah.
So what, do you live with buddies or something? Or
yeah, I met a couple people when I moved up here and just moved in, and it's been great ever since.
Well, there you go. Well, enjoy New York City. How old are you now?
26.
Awesome. So you're having fun. You're kicking ass. You have a blast in the city. It's crazy expensive here, huh?
Oh, it's terrible.
How do you survive? You guys all have to, like, stack on top of one another in an
apartment?
Well,
that's why we're in basically a two-bedroom apartment
right.
with, like, a little nook.
Right.
We got three people living there, and the third person's living in the nook right now.
How is the rent? Is it like
hope
what four?
Less.
Is it like
the person
four?
In the nook better be paying the.
Oh,
low
of course,
end.
Of low course, they're paying a little bit less.
How much is it? Like $4,000 for the rent?
Just under three.
Just under three, not bad. And you guys barely can make it every year, every month.
We're not that bad off,
but I mean,
it's
when you
definitely a little tight sometimes.
When you drink and do drugs and everything, that costs a lot of the money. It goes away.
Never do any of that.
None of that. Stuff's bad for it's bad for the community in general. Pirates lead 8-5 over the Angels now, and the Rays have opened up a can on my Padres. As you know, Carver High, I've become a Padre closet fan of the San Diego Petco Padres and the chicken.
Yes, well, the chicken you're a big fan of.
Big fan. I love that guy when he brings out the little chiclets and they all take a leak on the home plate umpire.
I mean, to be quite
it.
Honest with you, I mean, the way Ron Cook was talking earlier, I couldn't blame you or any Pirate fan if you just moved on to
if I jumped
else,
ship and
just,
and went you know, full on
I mean,
Padres.
You can't go and be like a Yankee fan, but you can, you know, start rooting for the Padres or something like that if that's what you want to do.
But I've always been a Yankee fan.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, as a, you know, if you're a diehard, everyday Pirate fan your whole life, like your dad or something
right,
like that.
I'm a diehard Pirate and Yankee fan. That's it. No other teams. And I hate the Mets. Like, I hate the Mets more than anyone.
Well, you walk around this place for a couple hours and you'll really hate them
more. Oh, well, I hate all the people here as well that root for them. I hate them as people.
A lot of long faces out here tonight.
Yeah, they lost to the Braves.
It's like they lose one game for the first time in three
and they're
weeks
all ready
and
to.
And they're all out here. You think it's a morgue out here.
Yeah, but they're ready
ridiculous.
To kill themselves. Over
unbelievable.
But they don't, like, they actually celebrate, and we've had this conversation before, they actually celebrate more here the Yankees losing than they do the Mets winning.
Well, there's people here that they care more about what the Yankees, they claim to be Met fans, and they are Met fans, but they are more concerned about what the Yankees are doing than what the Mets are doing. There's just no question
that's
about
crazy,
it.
That's crazy, though.
Concerned about it.
Do you feel that now that the Mets have gone on the road to play a good team and they got punched in the mouth.
Let's see how they do the next 2 days.
Do you believe that they're, you know, they're two out now of a wild card, that they're going to, you know, because they've lost a couple games now in a row, that they're going to melt like an ice cream cone?
Well, I think that this was a scenario that's very possible after the string that they were on. Now they've played four games, three against the Nats, one against
right.
the Braves. They're 2-2. So let's see how, because this is they got a long way to go here. This is like the next 3.5 weeks of playing really good teams. Play the Braves. They got the Nats again. They've got the Indians. They've got the Cubs, the Phillies. They've got a lot of good teams coming up in the next few weeks. So,
all right, so let's talk about the Amari Cooper plantar fascia. Okay, so he's another big piece to the pie, right? So you got Dak who can't get a deal done, Zeke who can't get a deal done, and then the key to their whole offense are those two guys and Cooper, right? And now Cooper has plantar fascia. You know, plantar fasciitis is a nightmare. Let me just say, speaking from experience, I had it for 2 years, right? the worst plantar fascia you've ever seen. Literally, Carver High, I know how much you love talking about my ailments, but have you ever seen anything worse than seeing me try to walk after I played a game on a Wednesday night with plantar fascia in both feet? If, like, remember, like, I'd sit here for 4 hours. What was I like when I tried to get up at 2 a.m. to leave?
It wasn't fun.
I can't even walk. Like, I literally, you guys almost had to help me out of here. Because it seizes up. What happens is when you play, it actually loosens up. And you can actually play with it. It's when you're done playing that it seizes up like a piece of steel in your foot. And it hurts so bad. There is no grown man on earth, including... There is no one on the face of the earth, not even, woo, my shoes cost more than your house. There is no one on the face of the earth, Carver High, that can handle the double plantar fascia. There is no one. Amari Cooper has been crippled by the plantar fascia. Double plantar fascia is a game changer. It's when you have both feet so hit with plantar fasciitis that you can't even walk. I mean, I got to tell you, just so you know, I had it so bad that it's like, no joke, it's gone now, right? I don't have it right now, but I have inflammation in my left heel so bad from plantar fasciitis, so bad that every single day of my life when I get out of bed in the morning, whatever, because I sleep from like 4 to 8. And at 8 o'clock, I get up to you know, go start my day or whatever. And I kid you not, Carver, I cannot stand up out of bed anymore, ever, and just start walking. I can't do it. I have to sit up. I have to sit there for 60 seconds at least and, like, move my, like, shake my legs to get my feet unlocked from the, when I'm laying up on a bed, you know, and your feet are up in the air. My feet apparently turn into cement now, like I'm in a mob movie. Like they put me underground with cement shoes or throw you in the lake. I have literally cement feet in the morning. I cannot walk at all. I can't walk. I have to hold on to things in the bedroom just to walk out of the room. And I cannot wear shoes anymore, ever. I have to wear flip-flops year-round. Because of double plantar fasciitis, the worst. It is the worst thing ever. I've had 4 fistula surgeries. That's on your bum, in case you didn't know. Fistula, awful, torture, pain, suffering. I'd rather have 5 more of those than the double plantar fascia I had. The 2 feet that you can't walk, it hurts so bad that you can't walk. There's nothing worse than when your feet don't work. I mean to tell you, I've had knee problems. I had a broken knee. I broke my kneecap. I broke my hand in 5 places. I've had 4 bum surgeries. I tore my rotator and labrum off my shoulder. I would take all of it again over plantar fasciitis. That stuff is the worst. I mean, it hurts so bad I can't even get through this segment. Just thinking about it makes me, honestly, I want to just eat like an entire jar of Percocet just to get through it. That's how bad my feet hurt. And you can't walk. And then you, like, try to substitute, you know, the pain. You try to, like, cover it up by, like, walking on the outsides of your feet, and then they go. Or then you walk on your toes, and then they go. Have you ever had, like, marble foot, like, where you think you got marbles in the balls of your foot and you can't put your foot down?
Right.
Oh, God. So Amari Cooper, you know what he is right now? He's in hell.
You're saying that it's not a good scene for him right now.
Bro, there is no one. And let me tell you, do you remember turf toe? It ended Jack Lambert's career, right?
Right.
You can't run with, like, broken toes. Trust me. If you have a broken big toe, you're done. You're done. You will not run in the NFL with a broken toe. I'm telling you. You just can't do it. Plantar fasciitis, broken toes, just that big toe.
What about over-freezing your feet in a cryo machine?
Oh, Carver High, you and I have been known to fall asleep in the chirogenics office out in Vegas. We've been known to go, oh, I'm sorry, that was a rubbing. Oh, sorry. That was a, never mind. That was a, yeah, we went for a what? What did you say? Yeah, the Orchids of Asia. We went to the massage parlor to the Orchids of Asia. I thought that's what you said to me. I was like, what'd you just say to me? I've been to way better ones than that one in Florida. Believe me. I've been to better ones than that in Jersey. We used to go to the one before the Devils games. We'd stop on the way to the we'd hit that place up, and you know, we'd go at like 5, hit that place up for an hour, then go to the Devils game right after you go in there and get, you know, finishing touches, if you know what I'm saying. Check out. Plantar fasciitis. Stuff means business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.